Like, I got to remain humble. That's a tough word for me. Like, if you know me, my ego is a mile long and I'm working on that. I've been to treatment I've been back to therapy 4 times in the last 40 days.
Welcome to another real, raw, authentic episode of Sober Buzz, spreading the good buzz, coming to you from very hot downtown Austin, Texas.
Very hot right now.
Hosted by me, Josh Case, and my lovely wife, Heidi Case. Where we lay it all out there, there is no holding back. Our global community crosses cultures and has no international borders, as addiction and recovery is a human journey. Hope is found here.
Yes, it is.
So we have a return guest.
Yes, right? We do. Yes. This is Sean Castleberry. He is the vice president of Addicts Fighting Back. And we wanted to have him on today to talk about this nonprofit with us. So, Sean, what is the main mission of Addicts Fighting Back?
Oh, the biggest thing with Addicts Fighting Back, our main goal is just to provide an opportunity for people to connect outside of treatment, right? You go to treatment, you're in treatment for 30, 45 days. You go to sober living, you're in IOP. And then what? You know what I mean? Like, that 6 months, 9 months or whatever is such a small time frame in the grand scheme of things. And I see a lot of people in the community that get complacent, or they don't have connection, or they don't have friends, and they end up going back out because of it. So we've just created a space, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's with the events that we hold in Utah, that it gives people a place to come and bring their family and just connect. Connection's the opposite of addiction, right?
Absolutely.
How many members do you have?
A crazy story, dude. So just kind of backtracking a little bit back to where we left off, like, we started this group as a Facebook group, and it was just like recovery memes and such. And it started with just a few members, and today we have over 5,000 members.
So kind of like how Sober Buzz, yeah.
1,000 members nationwide. I mean, most of the stuff we do is in Utah, from the tip of Logan all the way down to St. George. But I mean, we've met some people in other states because of the group, and we've had people come out and play in some softball tournaments that were from Missouri. We've met people from Minneapolis. Like, it's growing.
What kind of events do you do? So softball and what else?
So we sponsor some sports teams out here in Utah. Sober softball is really big. Sober volleyball is really big. So we sponsor a couple teams there, but we do usually, like, once a month, we try to hold like a family fun day is what we'll call it. You know what I mean? And we'll usually rent out a pavilion at a park and do like some slip and slide kickball, a barbecue, some activities, you know what I mean? And just encourage everybody to bring their families, invite people. Another big staple of Addicts Fighting Back is our homeless outreach. We've been doing that consistent for almost 6 years. We go out on the second Saturday of the month, and we go back to the hotels where I first got arrested and I spent so much time, and we knock on, it's now like a mental health low income area, right? And so, like, Wasatch Mental Health and stuff will put people there for their housing. Okay. And so we'll go knock on the doors. We'll take a pre-cooked meal. And we'll go knock on the doors and make sure they're fed. We'll take clothing donations out there and let them go through the bags of clothing and get clothing. Just the object of the game is to make them feel not invisible, right? Because when I was out there on the streets and homeless doing what I was doing, like, that's what kept me sick for so long, was just feeling like nobody cared, feeling like I wasn't a part of anything. You know what I mean? Right. So that's our big staples, that outreach.
So how do you get your funding?
So we were getting most of our funding through a grant that was a part of the opiate crisis. God bless our president for just cutting that short. But we do hold a tournament in June. It's the Sander Memorial Tournament. And that that's our biggest fundraiser of the year. And then we just kind of have some smaller fundraisers. But
what's that, a tournament? Is it a softball tournament?
Yeah, it's a softball tournament. Sorry. This year we had like over 40 teams. It's grown substantially every year.
And these aren't the same teams that like are in rehabs, right? Because I played sober softball in rehab. I freaking loved it. It was fun.
Well, actually, we have a couple divisions. Like, we have an uppers division and a lowers division. So we invite those treatment teams out Like this year we had steps and we had our do out there. And that particular tournament is not just a sober community tournament, right? So we have softball teams from all over Utah. We advertise that because of our relationship in the softball community. We get quite a following for that tournament. So Sander was a big part of Addicts Fighting Back. He passed away from COVID. And the first year we had it, it was just the Addicts Fighting Back softball tournament. And then when he passed away, we changed it to the Sander Memorial Tournament. And he was a big part of the softball community. So we gather a pretty big following to that tournament.
Wow, that's awesome.
What are some of the most difficult things you've had to deal with since you've set up the nonprofit? You've been around about 6 years, right?
Yeah. We've just been over 6 years. I think it will be 7 years in May. I think the most difficult. Thank you. I think the most difficult thing is it's got to be just watching people go back out and lose their life. You know what I mean? With the fentanyl crisis and everything going on right now, we've had so many members that just were a big part of it. And then they overdosed and they passed away. And that's probably the biggest struggle. I can't speak for all the members, but for me, you know what I mean? Like just seeing people that were such a crucial role in what we do here and have been a big part of what we do here. And then they relapse and they don't make it back out.
Yeah. That's so hard. That's got to be really hard to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound heartless, but it kind of goes hand in hand with the work that we do in the recovery community. You know what I mean? At some point you have compassion for it, but you kind of grow a little bit cold to it without sounding heartless, but you kind of grow cold to it. And it's kind of what you ask for when you want to be a light in the recovery community and you want to be close in the recovery community and put in work there. That's one of the challenges you're going to have to face.
It's like in rehab, they tell you to look to the left, look to the right. And, you know, most likely one of those people aren't going to be around, you know,
yeah,
in a year or something. And at the time you think, oh yeah, right. But, you know,
it's true.
I've just found out a few people are not around anymore for my last rehab. So it's unfortunate.
Like it's statistically right now, it's a freaking war zone. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a game. And that's one of the things that keeps me clean is like, I know that, I mean, prison was an extreme. Homelessness was an extreme. Losing my kids was an extreme. Like the only thing I have left for me is death. That's the only thing that's left on the other side. And I'm not willing to put that bullet in the gun and see if it's up next. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a rough one. So who are some of your biggest supporters?
Well, you know, Steps Recovery has been a huge supporter. They tend to sponsor any event that we have that requires a sponsorship. Our Do Recovery, I'm wearing their t-shirt. Tyler's great, dude. I love Tyler. Our Do Recovery has been a big sponsor lately. We work pretty close with another nonprofit here in Utah, Soap to Hope. They handle a lot of like boots on the ground stuff up in Salt Lake with sex trafficking and addiction. We've networked and we've built a big community of treatment centers and other organizations that we just kind of pair up with frequently when we do these events. Like building that network with a treatment center also gives us the opportunity for when someone's struggling on the Facebook page and they need a place to go, a treatment center or a bed, then that's where we're going to send them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Right.
So, I mean, you're obviously an important light in the community there. What are some of your short-term goals for the future? And where do you see this going, like, in another 7 years? I'm sure you want to be around indefinitely, right?
Well, that's a deep question. Like, I've been pondering this a lot lately. My life looks so crazy compared to what it did from the rest of my story. Like, when I was sitting in that prison cell, I would have never imagined that I would be going back to school to be an electrician. I never imagined that I would have another kid. I never imagined I'd be remarried. I never imagined that I would be vice president of a nonprofit organization. I think the biggest one is just the biggest goal is just to keep spreading awareness, whatever that may look like, whether it's fighting this fentanyl crisis, whether it's, you know, helping people with mental health, like the recovery community is expanding a lot into mental health and suicide. You know what I mean? Sex trafficking, whatever. Just keep being a voice. We want to continue to grow it to a point where we're like pretty self-sufficient, where we don't have to rely on those fundraisers or we don't have to rely on government grants where we're pretty self-sufficient. I feel like we're getting there, and hopefully within 7 years, that's where we're at. Hopefully within 7 years, we're globally or nationally, you know what I mean?
That'd be great.
Yeah. So we have 7 board members. I'm the vice president, Jason DeGroff. He's our founder. He's actually my best friend and my coworker. He is the president. My other best friend, Shantae, is the secretary. We have a treasurer. And then we have a couple board members that just keep the numbers at an odd number for when we have votes. So there's never an even vote, right? Because we take everything, we run everything by that board, and we'll make sure that we vote on stuff and that everybody comes to an agreement. And then we have a service committee, and the service committee handles, they probably have 10 or more people. They handle like the outreach stuff, and then they help with other events, right? And then we have the events committee that puts on the family-friendly events. That's where Kaylee's at. She's in the events committee. And then we have a sports committee, and the sports committee is the one that handles the plannings of the tournament, decides what teams, just, you know, votes on the teams that we're going to sponsor and such. So we have those committees, and it's 7 board members and probably 10 people or more in each committee.
That's great. What did you say the president's name was again?
Jason DeGraw.
Yeah, Jason, that's right. How did he come up with this idea?
So he was actually laying in a jail cell, and I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to come back to this because it's like where we left off in my story, right? So he was laying in a jail cell. At the time, there was another Facebook group in Utah that was kind of similar, that was just a place for people to reach out if they're struggling, get resources. And so, you know, he kind of wanted to do something similar. And then we've just taken off. And it actually started out at, I was in sober living, and he wanted me to meet him at a pancake fundraiser that was for the RISE program. The RISE program is like a treatment program that's inside the jail. And we were at a fundraiser for there. And it was just like, hey, like, let's get this group together and run this Facebook group. And then we gradually started doing our outreach, and we stayed consistent with that. And we garnered a following doing that. And then we just applied for nonprofit status. And at the time, we were like, they're not going to give nonprofit status to a bunch of junkies and felons. You know what I mean? And when we got that letter back saying that we had been accepted to 501c3 status, man, it was exhilarating.
Yeah, I bet.
And so it was just an idea laying in a jail cell, you know, and here we are.
What's the most important lesson you think you've learned throughout all this?
It's got to be compassion. You know what I mean? Like, I got to remain humble. That's a tough word for me. Like, if you know me, my ego is a mile long, and I'm working on that. I've been to treatment I've been back to therapy 4 times in the last 40 days, just working on some of my internal battles. Mm-hmm. And so I just got to remember to have compassion, not judge people. And I think the biggest lesson put into words is just to love people where they're at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The recovery community and the recovery game is expanding as a whole. Now you got medically assisted treatment, and, you know, you got people that their program might not look like yours. They might not be AA. They might not be NA. And that's okay. Whatever's working for them, like, we got to show up and we got to support that. And that's what Addicts Fighting Back is modeled after. We don't follow a 12-step, you know, we don't follow the 12-step program. We don't follow AA. We don't follow NA. We're just a recovery group. And recovery to me looks like, as long as you're trying to be better tomorrow and make some changes and stay consistent, then that's what it is. And we're just going to support you in that, wherever you're at with that.
Right. That's great. I think it's commendable to say that you don't necessarily follow that 12-step program, but you meet people where they're at, because it's true. Recovery does look different for everyone. And it can make it hard when you're trying to fit into some sort of 12-step modality. Right. And
absolutely.
And it just doesn't really fit you.
I think the biggest for me is, you have somebody that goes to an NA meeting and they use the wrong verbiage, or they go to an AA meeting and they say the wrong thing. And now all of a sudden people might guilt them or shame them. And trust me, I'm not talking bad on those programs. Those programs help millions of people, but they say the wrong thing and they leave there with a sense of shame. And then they go home and they don't go back, and they go out and they die. You know what I mean?
Right.
And people are missing the point, right? It's being sober is the end game, not
absolutely
how you do it, right?
Just being a better human's the end game. It doesn't matter if it takes you methadone to get there. It doesn't matter if it takes Suboxone. It doesn't matter if it takes a medical marijuana card. You know what I mean? Like, just being a better human tomorrow.
Well, that's funny you say that. We had Quinn LePere on from Cali Sober. He's up in Midvale. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
You know, California Sober doesn't work for me, but it works for some people. And, you know, it's not my place to make the decision whether that's okay or not.
Right. As long as it's working for someone else, and that, like, great. Right. That's all I want for someone.
Yeah, we just got to, I think as a recovery community as a whole, like, we just got to remember where we came from and where we were when we were struggling just to fit in, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then find that niche and run with it.
Yeah, for sure. What piece of advice would you give to someone who's wanting to start a nonprofit like Addicts Fighting Back?
Just consistency. You know what I mean? You might not be organized. You might not have a ton of funding. You might not have all the money in the world. You might not gather a huge following, but just stay consistent. And be real, you know, be real, be authentic, and the rest will follow. Just stay consistent out there, boots on the ground. Like, it took a lot of work. Like, for a long time, us seven board members before we had committees, we're doing everything. We were jumping in the middle of everything we could jump in the middle of. We were going to every recovery event. We were, you know, going to every other organizational event. And just trying to get in the middle of everything in the recovery community. And we just stayed consistent. We stayed consistent. We stayed true to ourselves. We stayed authentic. And people like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No, I think, there's plenty of room for as many organizations like this or podcasts or whatever. I don't think you can ever have enough, right?
No.
Yeah.
Enough voices out there.
Exactly.
And even if you kept one person, right? That's enough.
That's one person you kept alive, right?
Yeah. That's been one of my mottos when I do stuff like this, when I go inside the jail and share my story, when I go to a treatment center and share my story, when I jump on a podcast. Like, if I can help one person, if my message reaches one person, then my mission's complete. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Big time.
So, has the softball tournament happened this year yet, or is it coming?
Yeah. No, it's in June. So actually, we have two of them. We actually have two of them. I forgot to mention. So we have the Santa Memorial Tournament, and then we hold a Unity Draft. And what the Unity Draft is you just sign up, and then we throw you on a team. You don't pick your team, so it gives you that opportunity to meet new people.
Got it.
The Santa Tournament. Yeah, it's a great idea. It's actually fun. We don't keep score or anything like that, so there's no, like,
arguments. Know. I may not play.
The competitive streak in us says that's not okay, but all right.
Yeah.
That is my biggest struggle.
There's different ways to getting sober. There's different ways to play softball. Okay.
That's my biggest struggle is competitiveness, though. But yeah, the tournaments are in June and August, and then we sometimes have another big fundraiser in the wintertime. But yeah, they've already come and gone.
Hey, do you guys get involved in that the bowling league up in Salt Lake or Murray, where they bowl
Jason,
with some light bulbs?
Jason absolutely does. I do not. I'm not very good at bowling. He likes bowling. Yeah, they have a sober bowling league. Yeah, dude, it's on Sundays during football season, so I'm typically
then I'll never get there.
I'm typically in my man cave. So. Yeah,
that's fun.
Well, Sean, any thoughts you want to leave us with?
No, I think for me, what resonated with me the most in this conversation is just how you said it's time to be a voice. You know what I mean? We, as a society, are losing too many people. We're losing too many friends, whether it's the opioid epidemic, whether it's the sex trafficking epidemic, whether it's the protecting our children from predators. You know what I mean? Like, it's time to get loud. And the only way we're going to get loud is in numbers. It doesn't matter what your organization looks like or what somebody else is doing. Let's do it together. And let's let our voices be heard so we can get the changes within our communities and within our government. And we can take it to that level so we can get the changes that we need so we can see people stop dying. I think that's the biggest, the biggest message that I can, you know, that's, I live my life to be a voice. You know what I mean? God gave me this second chance to be a vessel, to use my voice. And that's what I'm going to do. That's the goal.
Well said.
I agree. Anything else?
No, I think that's it for today. Thank you so much, Sean, for coming yes. on and talking to us about Addicts Fighting Back.
If we can get your followers to go on the Addicts Fighting Back, if you search Addicts yeah. Fighting Back on Facebook, you're going to get a page that you can follow, or you're going to get a private group. Join the private group. One of the admins or moderators will let you in. The most important thing is why we keep it a private group is because if you're struggling on there and you don't want somebody else to see it, you can voice that you're struggling, and you're going to have 100 people comment real quick, or a couple admins reach out to you. So let's go on there, use it. It's a great tool. You might see something that resonates with you. You might be able to share something that helps somebody else. You never know. And it's like I said, like we've said a million times on this podcast already, it's strength in numbers.
We'll have all of that information in the description for the episode. And if awesome. Anybody wants to learn more about Sean, he did a two-part episode for us. So that's in our podcast folder on all the platforms and YouTube. And then Kaylee is coming on in a couple of weeks. So she has a, you can hear, learn her story as well.
So, I can't wait for that episode.
At least go watch part two of Sean's, because someone calls them a snitch in the comments.
Where do I see the comments?
You go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah. Apparently
you're a snitch.
you're a snitch. Yes.
Hey, you know what? I got clean and I stayed clean because I was able to have accountability and to hold people accountable. And in the recovery world, we don't call that snitching.
No, we don't.
I think they're teasing you.
Yeah.
I think it's a joke.
I hope so.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for coming on, Sean. Really appreciate it. And everybody out there around the world, stay safe and sober out there in the wild. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.